Hello. Welcome back to God's Word for Women Today. We looked last week at sort of an overview of Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. And so we're going to continue our look at those to see how these verses are relevant to us as women today. Let's review the verses that we're studying. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. For this lesson, we're going to study what Paul wrote to Titus, pretty much in verse 3, about the role of the older women in the church. What should mature women be like in terms of their character or behavior? And what should older women do with their experience and wisdom and spiritual maturity? Four things are listed. Older women are likewise to be reverent, not malicious gossips, not enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. That's the description of older women. In context, Paul has already told Titus what the qualifications are for church elders. Those are found in Titus chapter 1, 5 through 19. And what the character and behavior of the older men should be like. That's found in Titus 2, 2. Paul then goes on to address the character and behavior of older women within the church, and that's where we come in today. In the same manner, likewise, in the same manner as the older men have been described, Paul now has instructions for two groups of women, older and younger, and we're going to be looking at the older descriptions for the older women today. I like looking at different translations, so sometimes that gives more ideas on words or usage or maybe something that would be more relevant. I love studying the language here in the New Testament, would be the Greek, most especially, but sometimes it's a useful practice to look at other translations. So the Amplified in the Classic Edition says, bid the older women, similarly, to be reverent and devout in their deportment, as becomes those engaged in sacred service, not slanderers or slaves to drink. They are to give good counsel and be teachers of what is right and noble. Okay, wow. So we run into some words that are just not very typical for our lives right now. Deportment is one of those kind of words. So I look it up. First, I looked it up in Webster's 1828 dictionary. It's one of my favorite go-to sources for Noah Webster's definitions. He said it's a manner of acting in relation to the duties of life. Our behavior, our demeanor, there's another good word like deportment, conduct. Also, the current day iteration of Webster's 1828 is the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. And they say that the manner, deportment means the manner in which one conducts oneself. How amazing a line it is that becomes those engaged in sacred service. That's what the older women are to be engaged in. How they act in their reverent and devout deportment or demeanor is a service to God, a holy set-apart service. What an amazing description that is of older women. But that's not exactly necessarily how society perceives older women today, or even how older women perceive themselves, which I think is kind of interesting. I have a quote from a commentator who says, we have bought into the notion that older people have had their day of usefulness and ought to make way for the young. But the principle here in Titus is quite the opposite. With age and experience comes wisdom, and many older women have discovered secrets of godly living in relation to their husbands, children, and neighbors, and in the workplace that could save younger women a lot of unnecessary grief. And when the unavoidable trials come to the young woman, who better to guide her through than an older sister who has been through it before. Somehow the church must see that the younger women have contact with older women. That connection becomes very important, and that's what Paul says Titus is to teach. Titus is to teach the older women, and the older women are to teach the younger woman in women in turn. So how old are older women according to the language here? The Greek word for older woman is one word. It's presbutis. The Strong's number is 4347, and it's simply defined in Strong's as an old woman. I've also seen an aged woman. It's the feminine counterpart to the phrase older men that we'll find in Titus 2:2. I like what John MacArthur says, and I think that's kind of what we're going to follow for this particular lesson, is that Paul does not specify the age a woman would have to be to qualify to be older. But childbearing typically ends at about 40 to 45 years of age, and correspondingly, child rearing ends at about 60 to 65. It therefore seems reasonable to take older women as referring to women that are at least 60 years of age. So we're going to remember that context, and that will be the basis for the age range we're looking at for older women. But I want to put a disclaimer in. It doesn't mean that you have nothing to say to anybody else until you turn 60. So let's look at it in a broader context briefly, but please don't forget this description by John MacArthur on the age range for an older woman. So let's look at, in a much broader sense, how old do you have to be an older woman? Being an older woman is not necessarily about being a certain age. It is about being willing to look at the younger women coming behind us and desiring to see them be nurtured in their faith. We should desire to invest in the body of Christ through teaching by word and example those who are younger, whether we are 30 or 80 years old. So what might that look like? The specific number of birthdays is not as important as the combination of life experience, faith, and maturity. Someone told me a long time ago, the title on our slide here is to pray to have a Paul and a Timothy in your lives. Maybe it's not exactly, am I old enough to be an older woman? But to whom am I currently an older woman, even right now? For example, a woman of 35 can have wisdom to share with a college student or a new career woman. A married woman can have knowledge to share with a newly married woman. A mother of teenagers can have experience on loving and raising young children. Aunts and uncles can definitely assist in caring for and loving their nieces and nephews. And these relationships will change over time. There are times when I've had a Paul, a woman who was mentoring me and pouring into my life. There have been times when I had a Timothy, and I've been pouring into a younger woman coming behind me. Sometimes I've had both. Sometimes I've had neither. The relationships are going to change just based on how God is growing each of us as women. And the experience piece of this is also important. Although I am over 70 right now, I cannot provide specific wisdom or encouragement on being a young widow, for example. I can share some of God's word, but I haven't walked in the shoes of a young widow. That's not part of my life experience. And so I cannot come alongside her in the same way that an older woman who's been there might be able to comfort her and share with her. All right, so getting back to Titus 2, verse 3, there are four qualities of the mature Christian woman that are listed in these verses. There are two positive, and I've shaded those in yellow, and there are two negatives that I shaded in blue. So let's look at the first one, to be reverent in their behavior. Some other ways to phrase this from other translations are, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. I like that. To live in a way that honors God. New International Version says to be reverent in the way they live. Secondly, there's a not, a negative form, not malicious gossips. And the King James Version says not false accusers. Not slanderers, says the English Standard Version. Third character description is nor enslaved to much wine. Not addicted to much wine, says the Amplified. Not slaves to much wine, says the English Standard. And lastly, the fourth thing an older woman should be is teaching good things. To teach what is good, says the ESV. To be a teacher of good things, says the King James Version. Let's look at those one at a time. Reverent in their behavior. The word is hierorapes. It means suited to a sacred character, that which is befitting in persons, actions, or things consecrated to God. See why this needs to be a godly woman to fulfill this description? Reverent behavior. Another way to define that is acting as a representative of God. Older women are to be godly examples of holiness. And if you think in the Bible, I think of Anna comes to mind. She's such an example of someone who is an older woman who has served in the temple all of her life. I think she was married like 7 years, and then she became a widow. And she has devoted the rest of her life to serving God. You'll read about Anna in Luke chapter 2. The compound word means venerable, something that is calling forth respect through age, character, or attainments. Again, a really interesting word. We don't often hear about venerable people. Pertaining to proper reverence or worthy of reverence. It has a root meaning of being priest-like, and it came to refer to that which is appropriate to holiness. These women were to be like people, literally like priests, engaged or employed in sacred duties or service. That's why I like Anna so much as an example of this. They are to carry into daily life the demeanor of that called for of priests in the temple. The older women are to be godly examples of holiness. These older women are to be in dress, gait, and general deportment in keeping with what their holy calling requires. And they were not to be like the world, but like the church, decent without and adorned with holiness within. I think of sort of a check in my spirit when I think about, oh, but I'm not a priest. But it does say in 1 Peter 2:19 that Christians are called. Peter says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So that's still an apt description of a Christian woman. Okay, the second point after being reverent in her behavior is to not be a malicious gossip. Malicious gossip means false accuser or slanderer. It's the word diabolos. It's not just talking about, sometimes we think of gossip as sort of harmless, idle chatter, but the word, the one word, diabolos, is the very name of Satan. That's used of him over 34 times in the New Testament. Satan has always been, by his very nature, a false accuser and a slanderer. What might this look like if a woman was a malicious gossip? Well, she might be unwise in sharing of sensitive or confidential information. John MacArthur says they refuse to listen to, a godly woman, in contrast, they would refuse to listen to, much less propagate, slanderous or demeaning words about others. So if we go again to Webster's 1828 dictionary and learn and look up what slander is, if we're not to be slanderers, what's the definition for that? Slander is a false tale or report maliciously, meaning with deliberate intention to injure. It's a report maliciously uttered, intending to injure the reputation of another, by lessening him in the esteem of his fellow citizens, to tarnish or impair the reputation of one by false tales. As a woman, it just seems like, not that men never gossip, but it just seems to be something that women are prone to, and that we need to ask God to monitor the kinds of things that we say about one another. Particularly in a mentoring role as an older woman, it would be very, very important to win the trust of a younger woman by being keeping confidential the information that's been shared with you about a marriage or a family or about someone's heart. It's not to be spread to other people. Wearsby says they guard their tongues, these godly women. They do not pick up gossip and they do not spread it. Spurgeon says, and how beautifully can an aged Christian woman by her kindly example be a teacher of good things. There is no more charming sight under heaven, I think, than that of an elderly Christian lady whose words and whose whole life are such as becometh the gospel of Christ. Third thing, reverent in behavior, not malicious gossip. A godly older woman is not enslaved to much wine. Enslaved is the word doulao. It means to be brought into bondage by wine or to be made a slave of wine. A godly older woman is not to be in bondage to or addicted to wine. Wearsby says they should be temperate in their use of wine. Use it in moderation. Weiss says not given specifically, not given to drunkenness. The perfect tense speaks here of someone who is a confirmed drunkard. Drunkenness among women was especially abhorred, evidently, in Roman tradition. Today, in a broader sense, not given to much goes far beyond merely wine that could be included. The interpretation would be specifically wine and enslavement to alcohol or addiction to alcohol. But whatever we do is to be tempered by the glory of God. So we need to not be given to too much of any substance. He must be the object and focus of all we do. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, we're reminded, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I thought it was interesting that older women might have perhaps more of a leaning toward alcoholism according to scripture. So I did some science research, and one of the things that I found was that there is growing evidence about how serious alcoholism can be in the population of older women. It's easy to begin having a drink, I found in research, to block the aches and pains that are sometimes part of being older, or to drown loneliness or depression. And before long, it is possible to become addicted to alcohol at a later age. Older women may especially be at risk for alcohol problems because they're more likely than men to outlive their spouses and to face other losses that may lead to loneliness and depression. Physiologically, women are also at greater risk for alcohol-related health problems as they age. So once again, God's word is very accurate about the potential for there being problems at an older age. They're kind of specific to this age group that it would be really wise to prayerfully avoid. The last characteristic, reverent in behavior, not malicious gossips, not enslaved to much wine, is a positive note to end on, teaching good things. It's a compound word, kalodidaskalos, teaching that which is good, a teacher of goodness. It's a word that Paul created for here. It's not used anywhere else in the New Testament. MacArthur says that it's having spiritual integrity, godly women living what they teach, instruction in that which is noble, excellent, and lofty. It's not only that older women, Wearsby says, should show the younger mothers how to keep house, but that they put within their hearts and minds the right spiritual and mental attitudes for doing those things. This older woman described is to be a teacher of good, beautiful, and beneficial things, both by example and instruction. This was a greatly needed mission in Paul's day and Titus's day, and also today in ours. Note that it was the older women and not Titus that were to teach the younger women how to be truly beautiful and how to be godly. The idea about good in the word, part of the compound word, is kalo, is that first part of kalo didaskalos. Kalos refers to that which is inherently excellent or intrinsically good, something that provides special or superior benefit. That's a neat description of what good things could be. And the second component of that word is, like we saw before, didaskalos, meaning an instructor, a master, or a teacher. The need to be a teacher of good things is especially important as the church sees younger women coming to Christ from pagan backgrounds. Perhaps they have not had any godly role models to teach them how to make their homes attractive places for their families. Maybe they don't know how to love their husbands and children. Worldly feminism will tell them frequently to forget their families and find fulfillment in a career or in a new romance. Godly older women are to talk sense to them by teaching what is beautiful and attractive about a godly home. What is the purpose for having this kind of character as you deal with younger women? Well, verse 4 says, so that they may, so that always signifies a result or a purpose. What's the purpose behind this kind of character spent with younger women? It's that they may encourage the younger women. And I guess when I first look at that in the English, I think, oh yeah, encourage. I know what that means. It means to fill with courage or strength of purpose, to inspire, to pat a younger woman on the back and say, good job, keep up the good work. That's sort of what I think of when I think of encourage. That's not what the Greek word means. The Greek word is sophronizo. It means to cause someone to be of sound mind and to have self-control, helping others to cultivate good judgment and sensibilities. That's a lot more than a pat on the shoulder. The classic Amplified says, so that they will wisely train the young women to be sane and sober of mind. Sober of mind also meaning temperate and disciplined. Older women are to teach and demonstrate how a younger woman can be of a sound mind, be self-controlled, and have good judgment. This is a challenging job description for us as older women. Not only the character it requires, but the reason, the seriousness of why we're carrying out what we're doing to help these younger women be sober-minded, solemn, serious, guided. Okay, so encourage them, another way would be to say to train them is another verb instead of just to pat them on the back. Training is the process of bringing a person to an expected standard of proficiency by practice and instruction. The Greek word translated as train means to make of sound mind, often via correction. We don't need training for something we've already mastered. So we can conclude from this passage that, for example, loving one's husband according to God's expectations does not come naturally. What does come naturally, because of our built-in inherent sinful nature, is the desire to always have our own way and to be our own authority with little to no regard for anyone else. As a teacher, discussing training being this kind of a process of proficiency, practice, instruction, the word that I think of is curriculum. And that's exactly how I'm going to phrase it when we go into the next lesson. We're going to look at the pieces. What specifically would God have these older women teach them? What are the topics? What are the lessons to be learned? And we're going to see that as we go into the rest of these verses in Titus 2 that we'll be covering. So in summary, in this lesson, we've studied what God's word said about the character and behavior of godly women in their 60s and beyond. And unlike the world's dismissal of older women as unnecessary or put out to pasture, or maybe worse yet, sent off to have some well-deserved rest and fun, God has definite ministry goals for older women. If we're still here and we are loving and serving the Lord, we still have things that we can do, depending on who, you know, what our sphere of influence is and who God brings us into contact with. God wants a godly woman whose life speaks louder than her words. He wants a woman whose character is noticed and prompts other women to examine their own lives and seek to emulate her joy, her peace, and her walk in the Spirit in evident and practical ways. The Titus 2 older woman in the faith's life is a pattern for others to use in shaping their own lives. In the next lesson, in lesson 3, we will study what God's word said to Titus about the younger women in the church, that curriculum that I was mentioning, that there are 7 areas that younger women need training for and examples of as they mature in their roles as wives and mothers. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Goodbye until next time.